This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
That's always a good time. When it's this time, it's the MIP time. And for those of you who are returning, I say welcome back. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, I say welcome. I got a great show lined up for you on the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast today. You know, we'll start with our usual big deal. We'll look into Tom Brady and the success he's having in Tampa. Simultaneously, at the same time, Bill Belichick is having a slide in New England. We will discuss that. The Ravens lose to the Steelers. What's going on with Lamar Jackson? Is Lamar Jackson on a slide? Speaking of Ravens losing to the Steelers, the Ravens lose to the Steelers last week. The Steelers play my Cowboys this week, and everybody's predicting that the Steelers will run over my Cowboys. Whew, that's going to hurt. That'll hurt. Since they said run over, I went and got the bus. The man that ran over everybody when he put on a Steeler uniform. He will be my guest for today. So much I want to talk to the bus about. I want to ask the bus, who do you see that runs like you? Is Derrick Henry the modern day bus? You want to know that. He'll tell us that. All of that, and I shall end with my playmaker. And boy, we had some great playmakers this week. You don't want to miss that. So let's jump right into this, man, and start with this. Big deal, no big deal. Tom Brady's success in Tampa happening simultaneously at the same time Bill Belichick is on a slide in New England. Folks, both of these are big deals. Either way, because we love needle movers. Tom Brady's moving his success. Old man moving his success, moving his needle up. And Bill Belichick's needle is dropping down at 2-5 right now, something we haven't seen. And I don't know how long. And a team in New England that started 2-5 has never made the playoffs. Can you hear that? Does that even sound right? Bill Belichick not in the playoffs. You almost have to stop talking right there when you say that. Like, that's blasphemous. That's amazing. It's just amazing. But right now, the slide is saying he will not be in the playoffs. Bill Belichick, you're about to miss the playoffs. Bill Belichick, wide receivers on the New England Patriots, they have one touchdown right now. One touchdown. I know Cam is like Superman, or he wants to be Superman, or he pretend to be Superman, but he'll need his other super friends to help him pull up the New England Patriots, and he doesn't have any super friends. His receivers only have one touchdown. Yeah, Cam, you did it last week, though, buddy. That was on you. You fumbled the ball in a crucial moment. Something you can't do. That's just something you can't do, especially when you look on the flip side. The guy you replaced, he has 17 TDs and only one interception since week 3. He's playing MVP-like. That's what it is. And when I say that, people say, Michael Russell Wilson is the MVP. Yes, I say that too. But let's look at this a little deeper. Tom Brady went to a whole new team with a whole new system in a COVID offseason with no preseason. So give him the first 2 games and call him a mulligan and say, okay, that was your preseason. You had to get to know a system while you got to know these players. But you take those 2 first weeks. So I'm going to tell you something. Week 1, when I saw him throw that pick 6 and then turn the ball over again, and week 1 and week 2, I said, man, you know, Tom Brady was on Jameis Winston's pace. Jameis Winston had 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. If you give 2 a game, that's 32. That was Jameis Winston pace for the first 2 games, but he's back to being Tom Brady, 17 TDs, only 1 interception. That's MVP stuff. You know, the Patriots coming up, they got more problems coming. Because they got to play. They got to play Baltimore. They'll beat New York this week, folks. Then they got Baltimore. They got Houston. They got Arizona. They got the Chargers. Y'all say Herbert, that young fellow going off. They got the Rams and Miami. Miami look good. And then they got Buffalo, the team they just lost to. So they have more problems coming. At the same time, Tom Brady has more blessings coming. This week, he will have Antonio Brown to get down with. Can you believe that he's getting more blessed with Antonio Brown? A lot of people want to say this, and we'll mess with it a little bit. I know both of these are big deals, but which is the bigger deal? And let me talk to you as we want to compare and do a comparative analysis on these two. Bill Belichick, when you're doing the comparison, just know these facts. Bill Belichick has to build a team with all the restrictions that he has around building a team. He's mortgaged some of the future of the Patriots on the past of the Patriots when Tom Brady was there to win Super Bowls. And he did win those Super Bowls, and he got to those Super Bowls. So now his cap won't let him get in a whole lot of players, and he has to try to build that whole team. Tom Brady, he got to pick a team. He just said, wait a minute, let me look around. Where is the most talent? Oh, it's over there. Now I'm going to go add me to that over there and see what I can do with that. And what he has done has been incredible. And I keep telling people, again, this last deal, I think, is the closer that gets him to maybe being the first to play in the Super Bowl in his home stadium. And that closer deal is the Antonio Brown deal. It's not about catching passes. It's about how we practice for this stretch run. I need someone in here that knows how to practice every day to make sure Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and all of those guys are practicing too. Watch. I'm telling you, they'll start practicing better. Godwin, his hand was hurt. He was supposed to be out 4 weeks. I just read the other day. He's talking about he's already ready to come back. Call that an Antonio Brown healing. That's what I call it. I don't know if that's what you call it, but that's what I call it. All both of those are a big deal. Let's go on to that Ravens losing to the Steelers. Big deal or no big deal. This is a huge deal. A huge deal. And let me tell you this, man, Lamar Jackson, everybody now is talking about what's wrong with Lamar Jackson. Man, Lamar Jackson, can he really do it? What's going on with Lamar Jackson? There's nothing going on. This is the process of learning to play in this league. And let's be real. Now, the reality is Lamar Jackson is 24-5 over his career. That's a great, great record. 24-5. And you didn't do it the old way. You did it your way. You didn't come in and say, I'm going to do it, drop back pass Tom Brady. I'm going to do it, drop back pass Peyton Manning. Those ways that we've talked about work. And winning, I came in and did it my way. And he's going 24-5. But is this a big deal? You better believe it. Because of the five. What's in the five? Yeah, that 24 is beautiful. It's beautiful. That's a great number. But what's in the five? In that five are a couple losses to Patrick Mahomes. That's what's in that five. In that five was a loss last week to Ben Roethlisberger. So no matter how great the other 24 is, no matter, you can win all the regular season games you want. What we're saying and what everybody's starting to question now is, okay, you can win all those regular season games, but you're going to see Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs, so you'll never be able to get to where you want to go unless you get past those guys. That's why. It's a big deal. I know these two play again on Thanksgiving night. We're going to be able to eat some food and then watch them tear up each other on the football field. Because I said the last time, I said last week, that the Ravens could not lose this game because all the work they've done over the last 2 years is at stake. They lost that game, and it all comes down to Thanksgiving night. We will be eating turkey. They better be eating the Steelers like they are turkey, or all of that stuff was for naught. Big deal, Ravens, you lose. You got to come on up and do something and win and get back on top of that division and that conference. That's a big deal over there. Chargers blew a 21-point lead to the Broncos. They lose the game 31-30. Justin Herbert went for 278 yards, folks, three TDs. I love this young dude, man. I love this young dude. I'm just amazed that he didn't come out of training camp. I shouldn't be amazed anything because of COVID. Because of COVID, that's what it was. Because I was just thinking for a moment, I forgot it was about COVID. Because I was like, how did they see this in practice and didn't determine he should have been a starter? You know, that's what they did in Seattle. Remember they saw Russell Wilson in practice and said, wait a minute, because they had Matt Flynn or somebody else they wanted to go with. They said, no, that's clearly going to be our starter. And I figured you would see this in Justin Herbert because I see it every Sunday. But COVID robbed your eyes this offseason. That's okay. It still worked out, but this is no big deal. This is all part of the process, all part of the growing for this young Herbert. Let me tell you this so you'll know. He in the five games that they've lost, because they're 2-5 right now, they've lost these games by an average of 3.8 points per game. That's one score games. And get this, he lost to Kansas City by 3, Tampa by 7, New Orleans by 3. Kansas City by 3, that's Patrick Mahomes. Tampa by 7, that's Tom Brady. New Orleans by 3, that's Drew Brees. You're losing to the greatest, some of the greatest players we have in this league in your first year. And some may say, well, yeah, that's the same thing Phillip Rivers did. Yeah, you're right. But Phillip Rivers did this at his ceiling, buddy. He was at his ceiling. He was as good as he's going to be, and he was doing this. Justin Herbert is doing it at his floor. This is as bad as he's going to be, and he's doing it because he will just get better. I'm just telling you, Chargers fan, I'm on your side here. You got something. I remember when I knew I had someone, I had Troy Aikman. And oh, the feeling. You know what feeling you get to do now, Chargers? You get to really dream about a possible Super Bowl one day. Yeah, you couldn't really do it with Phillip Rivers. But I believe now, go ahead and put head on pillow and put dream in mind. Because there's a possibility that it just may happen with this young man. Speaking of young man, let's talk about the men that ain't so young anymore. And I told y'all know how big I am on UFC. I watch it every week. I watch last week, and I watch Anderson Silva. You know, I watch a couple weeks before that, and we watch my man Khabib. I've been working on this. I have really been working on this. I had it, too. I was on the show the other day because I couldn't say it here. I was on the show, and I just kept saying it. I said, man, I got to make sure I let them know I got it. And now it's gone again. But when I get it, I'm going to give it to you because I'm going to get it. But Khabib is bad, man. Y'all know Khabib. But Anderson Silva, I watched the other day, and I thought, wow, man, you talking about the greatest. And the greatest. And I want people to understand, we talk about people playing great and people doing great things. Great is a moment in time. When you start talking about people like Anderson Silva, you're saying the greatest. When you do something great, you did something in a moment in time. When you become the greatest, you did something consistently every moment over time. And this man has consistently done great things all through his moments in life, all over time. But he loses to Uriah Hall by knockout. And it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch. And I'm going to say this is a no big deal when I big deal or no big deal. And I say it's a no big deal because he's one of the greatest to ever do it. Anderson Silva. If you guys have never watched him, man, just go punch Anderson Silva up and watch some of the things that he's accomplished in his career. And you would be amazed. But even after the loss, Chael Sonnen, who I thought did a wonderful job broadcasting the fight because he had a great fight with Anderson Silva where he beat Anderson Silva all five rounds. And like the last 15 seconds, Anderson Silva pinned him and he lost. He had him beat all five rounds and he lost in the last 15 seconds. But he did a great job broadcasting the fight. And he asked, is it his last fight? And Silver kind of waffled back and forth. And I say this is a no big deal because I just didn't see it in Anderson Silver's eyes. I didn't see this was my last fight in his eyes. And I thought about it, and I say to myself, you know, we love watching guys rise up or fall down. And then we want to say, like, man, I didn't want to see Ali get beat up. I didn't want to see Anderson Silver get beat up, you know, when they get older. But the reality is, when this is in your soul like this, you have to clench your soul. I was up last night watching Rocky Balboa. You know, when Rocky went back and fought Antonio Tarver, he was an old man and he went back to fight him. And I was like, why am I watching this? Well, one of the reasons I was watching it is because I read for it. I had that movie. I read for the part of Antonio Tarver's manager. So every time he would say something in the movie, I remembered the lines. I was over here saying them. I said, man, I should have done that movie. I should have done that movie, but circumstances beyond me took me out of it, which I'm disappointed about, but man. Ain't nothing I can do about that. But I say this, like Frank Gore and all of those other guys that are still out there trying to get it done, Anderson Silva trying to get it done, it's not a day go by, man, that I don't miss doing what I did. Not a day. And I wish I would have had the moment to play out, to play until I had no more will, but because of my injury, I could not play because of my skill. These guys, Anderson Silva and Frank Gore, guys that are still in the game, they still got will and they still got skill. So I'm telling you, buddy, cleanse your soul. Play as long as you can play. Get it all out your soul. Because you are the only one forced to live with that soul for the rest of your life. I didn't cleanse my soul because injuries wouldn't allow it. And I have to live with that for the rest of my life. And I always, always, I just miss it. There's nothing to ever match it. I just miss it. And I don't think I had the chance to get it all out. So guys, clench your soul. I want to end my big deal, no big deal with this. Big deal or no big deal. Mike Tomlin gets his 140th regular season win, breaking a tie with my great friend and a great man in Tony Dungy for the most wins by a black head coach in NFL history. You know, it's impossible for me to consider this no big deal. Because I told you how much I love telling the stories of the NFL and how much I love telling the stories of the great young men that a lot have come from hellacious beginnings and earned their way through hard work and dedication and belief that they have a gift and a talent, earned their way to the NFL. I love telling those stories in the hopes that others will be inspired, garner something and be motivated and be able to move and go grab what you want to grab because the story you heard of how they grabbed what they wanted to grab in life. Mike Tomlin set out to be one of the greatest coaches. I'm sure he didn't say in his head or in his mind or in his heart that I want to be one of the greatest black coaches. He just said, I want to be one of the greatest coaches. But he is. If we're calculating by wins, congratulations to Mike Tomlin for becoming the winningest black head coach in NFL history. If you can ever put history on your side, it is important. And I tell it to you for this reason. It is important. For long after you leave time and go to eternity, and you have history on your side, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids can walk through the Pittsburgh Steeler Halls, walk through the NFL Hall of Fames, and see Mike Tomlin's name and see what he has accomplished and know what's in him is what is in me. And go accomplish whatever it is you wish to accomplish. Because what was in him is in you. History begets more history. That's how you inspire, motivate, and move others. Great job, Mike Tomlin. Now let's ask another Pittsburgh legend about this legend, Mike Tomlin. Jerome Bettis, the bus. That next on the MIP. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room. Collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. I'm so happy to have this dude join the MIP right here. He's a great friend. He's a hell of a ball carrier. For all of you who don't know, all of you people who watching Derrick Henry and all them big dudes, he's the Derrick Henry before the Derrick Henry. He's a six-time Pro Bowler, an NFL Hall of Famer, and yes, he is a world champion. He's my man, and he's the boss, Jerome Bettis. JB, man. Hey, man, I'm so happy to have you, man. There's a lot of reasons I got you on here. Steelers played that Ravens game, and, of course, the Steelers playing my Cowboys coming up this Sunday. So we got a lot we want to jump off into. Let's start with this, JB. You know, you're Notre Dame, dude. Notre Dame playing Clemson this week, man. Have you got a chance to watch any college football lately?
You know what? I have got a chance to see some of it. It's one of those deals where obviously I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to play for Clemson, so that hurts them. They've got the young guy, the freshman that's going to come in and play for Clemson. With Notre Dame, I think Ian Book, he's the quarterback. He's a good player. I don't know if he is the caliber of a Trevor Lawrence. Obviously not. But I think he can get the job done. I think they're playing at home, so it's going to be a great environment for Notre Dame to really showcase themselves. And I think they can pull the upset. I think they can.
Yeah. Well, without Trevor Lawrence, you can pull an upset.
That's right.
Because let's be real now. Because with Trevor Lawrence, that's a different football team. But there's something to that. There is something to that. Because right now you got a young group. You say, okay. You know how people say, I want to catch them at their best. I want to beat them at their best. You know, in this game, you just want to win.
You want to win. And in the situation that they're in, if they can beat them with him not there, then they'll see him again, hopefully in the playoffs. So if Notre Dame loses, then it probably means they don't get to the playoffs. So this is, very important for Notre Dame, maybe get to the playoffs. And then – as you know, when you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. Guy can have a bad game. Guy can get hurt. You never know what happens. So all you want to do is get there. So if they can win this game, they got a shot.
And you're right. You're right. Because if they lose this game, and then, they may not get it. But if Clemson loses this game, they'll take that into consideration that Trevor Lawrence.
Well, yeah.
And they'll still
100%.
And you can see them again. Yeah, that's how they will play that. That's interesting because, man, I'm going to tell you something now. Because Miami, I ain't going to say Miami's all the way back, but we creeping towards the right direction. And that Miami Notre Dame was a great rivalry too now.
That heartbeat is back.
Yeah.
I've been watching them. They got the boys that scrappy down there. I'm saying, ooh, they close.
I like the way you said that, JB. They got a heartbeat right now.
They got a heartbeat.
They're not up fully walking and owning, but there's a heartbeat. They're alive again.
They're alive, and now the key is for them to get up off the table. Once they get off the table, it's going to be a problem for everybody. They're getting their win back, and once they get off the table, it's going to be a problem. And I think that's going to be once they get that young quarterback that's sensational. He's right. coming. They he's not there yet, but he's coming. I think they'll get him, you know, maybe this year, next year, they'll have that right. young quarterback in place, and it's going to set everything on fire.
And you're right, because in Miami, when they played Clemson a couple of weeks ago, you saw that disparity, right there. You saw the difference in teams. So hopefully Miami get to that. Man, but let's jump into some NFL stuff, JB. Because, I mean, there's a lot going on, JB. I mean, first of all, what'd you think of that game last week when you're still Ravens?
You know what? I thought, looking at the game, I thought the offense looked lethargic. They couldn't get it going. They couldn't get a first down, you know, in that first half. They were just, you know, staying in the game, but they weren't finding ways to get down the field. I thought Baltimore Ravens defense did a great job of really going and attacking Ben and not letting him get comfortable in the pocket. But I will say the defense for the Steelers really showed up, because they were the ones that really took that challenge and said, okay, our offense is struggling. We're going to make sure that we pick it up a little bit. And they were, you know, they had a strong point, and then they fell apart a little bit, and the Ravens were starting to have their way running the football, and it looked like it was going to be a rough day. But they found a way to gut it out. You know, that's one of those gut check games where you make a play, you gut it out, you win, but you tell yourself that wasn't good enough. Because if we don't make a play or two, it could have got ugly quick. So I think they understand that it was a win, but when they see him again, I think they see him Thanksgiving night, they better be ready. Because the Ravens, when you really look at the game, they hit him in the mouth, and the boys, they didn't respond as well as I would have liked to see.
They got the win, though, JB.
They got the win. That's a good thing.
What would you say was your most memorable Steeler Raven game? Best game you had, or the most memorable moment, best play?
Man,
trucking somebody, ran over, rushed 200. What game sticks out in that rivalry?
You know what? We had some great games. I mean, every one of them was action packed. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I'm trying to go back to one particular one.
They were bloodbaths.
And we always
the kind of stuff they'll find you for the day. You can't even play.
Everybody had to put the big boy pads on, because you knew it was a 60 minute deal. I'm looking for you. You looking for me? And we gonna get it on. You know, it was one of those kind of things. And I mean, I used to tell it, hey. I see you in 24 seconds. I'll be right back. You All know, right. stuff like that. We used to, I mean, it was some battles. So I can't really put one. I think the rivalry was so intense that there was no other rivalry that met that level, because I knew going in that game, I knew Ray was going to be at his A game. And
Jamie, did you hear what you're saying? That means you knew you were going up against Sugar Ray Lewis.
I said, I got something for Ray though. That's what I used to tell myself. I got something for Ray. Hey, because he was, I used to tell myself, he's a little light in the ass right now. So I got something for him, you know? But I tell you what.
I mean,
I played about early in my career, I played at 250. Late in my career, I played about 258, 260 almost. So I was bringing some heat. So I had to be dealt with.
How much did Derek hear it? How much does he weigh?
He weighs about 235, but you know, but he's 6'3". That's the difference. He's 6'3", 240.
So you played almost up to 260. From 250 to 250, almost up to 260. Derrick Henry is 235, 240.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
JB, how the hell you get in the run? Look at that. I see that picture in back of you. Look at that bill. You look like a guard with a football in your hand.
You see that, right? Yeah.
How do you get the running back, man?
I was blessed with some speed. So what happened was, when I was in college, well, coming out of high school, I was an All-American linebacker. And not a lot of people don't know that. I was an All-American linebacker out of high school, and then I was an All-American fullback. But I was too short. Everybody wanted me to play linebacker, but I knew I wasn't tall enough. So coming to high school, I was 238 pounds, and I ran a 4.48. And so everybody wanted me to play linebacker. Then I chose fullback. And then when I went to the combines, I went to the combine. I was 254, and I ran a 4.52. And then I got drafted to 10th pick, and they said, we're putting you at tailback. We ain't going to put you at fullback. And that's how it happened. I didn't even know how to play tailback. They said, we put you at tailback, baby.
So, your first tailback run was in the NFL.
So at Notre Dame, what Coach Holtz did, one game, we played against Air Force, and both of our tailbacks got hurt. And Coach said, I don't want no rookie carrying the ball. I'd rather give you the ball. And he knew we were going to beat Air Force. So he put me at tailback. And I had 150 yards, and that was it. And then, but then that was the only game I played tailback. But from that one game, when we would play USC, if we got up at the end of the game, 4-minute drill, he put me at tailback. And so that was it. Those two games, I played tailback, and everybody said, I think he can play tailback. And that's what happened.
It was unheard of to have a 250 being right back there running the ball. Now, and even now, when you look at the guys now, they're looking for the Kamaras, the you know what I mean?
That's right.
Smaller backs now coming
smaller
out.
Smaller guys, but
what do you say to McCaffreys, all of these guys?
You know what? I see it's a different game. And so what's happening now is that the running backs are changing positions out of high school. So if you go back and you think about all of the colleges that have really top flight tailbacks, it's not many. It's only a couple of schools that produce the tailbacks for the NFL, because it's only about six schools that run the pro style offense. So if you think about it, if you look at Wisconsin, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, LSU. Every now and then, and USC. Outside of that,
right.
You're not getting any running backs that can really handle the load anywhere else. So I think those kids are switching from running back to either linebacker or defensive end. They're just leaving the running back position because you guys have taken over the wide receivers.
Now it's a wide receiver game.
Passing game,
yeah. But in our time, you were the highlight of the game.
That's right.
Highlight of the game, no matter what. Because we were handing the ball off so much. Now they're spreading that thing, throwing that ball, and throwing it all around, man. And it's crazy when you see it. When you play, what was the greatest start you've ever had? Now, because you got drafted. Now, people don't know this. You got drafted. Yep. The 10th pick to the Rams.
Yep.
To the Rams. You went with the Rams when they moved from L.A.
St. Louis. Yep.
So I want to ask you about that. Because we watched this year, we watched Las Vegas Raiders move from Oakland to Las Vegas. And what is that like to do that? And still, you got to set back up and play another season in a whole new city.
Yeah, it's a difficult, process because, a lot of guys have bought homes or you're leasing homes. You got all these issues. You got kids in schools. So when you up and leave, it changes the dynamic. So for the married guys, it maybe is a year before, the family gets there, the guy goes. So when we went to St. Louis, it was a much tighter team because a lot of guys weren't going home to the family. So we would all, go and have a drink or kind of congregate together because, nobody had their family there. We were just kind of in a new city. We didn't know anything about the city. So we was only a couple places that we would all go. So it was, it was good in a sense that it built camaraderie.
Right.
But it was strange in that your daily life is totally different because you don't know where to go. You're finding out, because when you come out of training camp, you go, you know, and you found your place to live, you really don't know where the grocery store is and where all the stuff is. And a lot of people don't think that once we leave the facility, it's normal life for everybody. You know, we got to keep doing what we're doing. And so that's the part that was much different, you know, and not to say LA going to St. Louis,
That was a tough, for the single guys,
we were scratching our head like, man, absolutely. What are we doing?
Absolutely, for the single guys.
I'm single, so I was like, man, this is backwards. We're supposed to be going the other way.
JB was like, hey, what?
JB sitting there saying, man, what? I'm leaving prime property, prime real estate, prime views to go to St. Louis.
I'm going to the armpit of the country. I'm going to the middle America. It was hot. It was nasty. It was humid. It was a rough time.
I bet you we bet God Almighty. That would have hurt, boy. I'm talking about, I'm going from L.A. I'm Hollywood. We winning and I'm in Hollywood.
But you got to remember, too, now, I got to L.A. I was the rookie of the year, so I was a big deal. So I'm the man for the Rams. And all of a sudden, they said, we leaving, going to St. Louis. I said, what? What? We doing what? So, yeah, it was a shock. It was a shock to the system.
Hey, but now for the Raiders, though, look at that now. They're leaving Oakland. Oakland's a good spot.
Not bad.
The camaraderie y'all got in St. Louis, that'd be a difficult thing to grab in Las Vegas. When right now, COVID may have them around a little camaraderie.
That's right. That's right.
COVID might help them right now.
Might help.
But when COVID, if it ever leaves, they gone.
It's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough deal there.
Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Jimmy, when you watch this week, when you watch now, man, you watch the NFL, or you see Derrick Henry, or is it Derrick Henry that reminds you of you and just the way he runs and the way he's done defenses, or is it someone else that you see?
No, I mean, I think he's really the only one, because he's the only one that's imposing his will with his physicality. Right now, the game has changed so much that everybody's philosophy is, we're going to throw the football, and then once we get up, then we'll run the football. And so what that does is, it doesn't give you that physicality you need on the offensive line. The running backs obviously are not going to be downhill runners. They're going to be more lateral guys. So I see the game as being very different. I think he's the only guy that can remind you to the throwback days of, you know, eight in the box, and we got to play the wideouts man to man. And my thing is, if you got these great wide receivers, why wouldn't you want to have them man to man? You know, I would, if we pounding the football, that eighth guy got to come in, and now you licking your chops. You like, he the only one can guard me? Now you're going to have a field day. And that's what you did. You know, everybody had to come up for 22. And then that's it, you know. And he said, if we even, I'm leaving. Come on. I used to wave that hand up there all the time.
Yeah, that's how all both of us won our Super Bowls that way.
That's how you do it.
Game first. But now when you talk about it now, okay, What's the best start you ever had with the Steelers? The best start you ever had.
So first seven. The first seven.
That's 7-0.
7-1. We were 7-1.
Y'all went. So y'all was 7-1.
And we ended up 15-1. My second from last year, we lost in the AFC Championship game to the Patriots. That was Ben's first year. We went 15-1 in the regular season, his rookie year.
With Ben at quarterback.
With Ben.
15-1.
But we had a veteran team.
Right.
And our quarterback got hurt. And so he came in the week three, and he didn't have to do a whole lot because we was pounding that thing. And he just had to make 3 or 4 plays a game, and we were good.
Hey, what is that like when you saw that baby Ben? They call him Baby Ben. You saw Baby Ben. With Ben, don't mess this thing up, Ben. Don't you mess it up. Hand the ball off and get out of the way. And just make 2 or 3 throws. We're going to get you all the way to 15-1. To now, Ben is all Ben.
And to show you the difference, we played the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and Bill Belichick said, we're going to commit everybody to stopping the run. We're going to make Ben throw the football because we don't believe he can beat us. And, Ben had a rough day, and we lost that game. But it shows now where he is in the sense where his first year – they said, we don't think you can beat us. Well, to now, he is the reason that they are winning, right? They put the ball in his hands because they know he's going to get the job done. So he's gone from that rookie with his eyes lit up like that to now he's a veteran guy saying, oh, I got him. Y'all going to try to blitz me? Okay. And he let it go up top. So now you see the polished Ben Roethlisberger, and he looks real good. He polished up real nice.
It's 7-0 walking around, man. What is it like, JB? You say you 7-1. You guys were on a 15-1. You know what it's like. I know what it's like. I played for one franchise, won Super Bowls here. You walk around this city. It's your city. They love you. They always love you because you take them back to greater moments. No matter where they are, they remember the greater moments. You know what I mean? You get that in Pittsburgh. You get it all the time in Pittsburgh. What is it like walking around and having that in a place that's a football town like Pittsburgh?
It's great because they appreciate what you have done. It's like, okay, what have you done for me lately, right? You retired, you out of the mix. So they're like, okay, well, I this guy here. In Pittsburgh, they appreciate what you have done in your career. Right. So when they see you, you see people's eyes and their faces still light up because, like you said, it brings them back to that a greater time, a better time when they saw the team winning and all this. And so it's great to be back in Pittsburgh whenever I get a chance to go there because of that appreciation for the game. And I'm talking grandmothers and mothers. I mean, 90-year-old grandmothers. I used to cheer for you all the time. But it's that appreciation, and they know football. You know what I mean? Right. It's like a lot of teams, okay, I got a 3-yard run or a 6-yard run. It's like, okay. Well, in Pittsburgh, they applaud that. Because they've always looked at the running game as important.
Grit on and built
on. That's it, right.
And all of that.
And it's blue collar, you know?
Yeah, it's real business, JB. And that's why I wish, and I talk about this, Emmett, Troy, we get it around here. But Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, I hate that they didn't have that thing work out in Pittsburgh, to have that even beyond the days when they leave the game. What are your thoughts on how things have transpired with Le'Veon?
You know what? It's disappointing for me to see that happen as well. The hard part is that these young guys, they don't look at legacy on the front end. They look at it and say, okay, whatever happens, happens. And they have an opportunity to sculpt their career. They have an opportunity to decide how their careers are going to go. And a lot of times it's not all about the most money, because if I take the most money, now I'm going to a team that doesn't have a good offensive line. I'm going to a team that necessarily doesn't have a good quarterback. And obviously I'm going to struggle. And so, you know, like Le'Veon, here's the example. When you are a free agent, the first thing you want to find is a team that has a good quarterback and a good offensive line, because without them, it don't matter how good you are, you are not going to be successful.
Right.
Right. And Le'Veon is still a great player, but when he went to the Jets, the offense was terrible. No offensive line, and the quarterback was young. So now you're not going to have success, because everybody's going to load up and say, well, we don't think the quarterback can beat us, but we know you can beat us, so we're gonna shut you down.
And now everybody in the media getting on you because of the way you went about things.
And then they start looking at your numbers, and they say, oh man, he only has 60 yards rushing. And I'm like, did you see the game? I had no place to run. But they don't care. They look at 60 yards rushing, 42 yards rushing, 70 yards rushing. Oh, he's not as good as he used to be. And then you start hearing that. And next thing you know, guess what happens? They ship you out. They cut you. They leave you. So now it's an aura around you. Like, people are saying, I don't know. He might be done. It's like, man, it's just 2 years ago. I was on top of the world. Happens that easily when you make bad decisions in terms of where you want to go as a football player. And I think, you know, obviously it was financial and he had some issues and all that kind of things. But some of those times you got to think about your next move. And it does not necessarily need to be the most money, because had he performed well, the money will come.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, we all know that.
He'd have had Pittsburgh. He'd have had Pittsburgh forever. Like him, man. Oh my God. It was something, man. Even Antonio Brown, man.
Antonio Brown. He already did so many great things, right? All he had, if he just hung in there, he had a heck of a quarterback.
Yeah.
He had a heck of an offense. His numbers was going to do nothing but keep doing that every year. And it's like, why would you let that get away from you?
Mm.
You just can't do it.
You know what? You're right. I wonder, and I got to look at it. Antonio Brown could have steadily climbed and been the only one to come close to anywhere where Jerry is.
Anywhere, I mean.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? He could have possibly.
Because you got Ben, he can still play another 2 or 3 years. So now you got a Hall of Fame quarterback for 5 more years. Come on.
And he had already.
Think about the numbers.
100 passes. A year.
He was already catching 120. Yeah.
A year. Oh my God.
So add 5 more of those on top of that. Now you're doing something.
Yeah.
Only few men have ever done in the history of the game. And that's legendary. That's how your name gets cemented. You know what I mean? In the minds and the hearts of all the people in Pittsburgh, and they let that get away, and you can never get that back.
You can never get it back. You think he'll do well in Tampa?
I think he will. He will. But you know this, it's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah.
And everybody's gonna be looking for everybody said they're hungry.
and you're a part of it, but it's not your city. It's not
your team.
Your
you're not
city.
The guy.
Right.
You're not the guy.
Because
they gotta make sure they get the guy. His touches. You see what I'm saying? The guy. You're not the guy. So that's where the issues come in. Now you got to get in where you fit in. Yeah. And it shouldn't be that way for a guy that is immensely talented. They're going to find ways to get him the football.
They'll find ways.
But it's still not the same when you the guy.
Yeah.
As soon as you get in the stadium, you say to yourself, it's going to be a good day because I know I'm going to get the rock.
I'm the guy, right? I'm the guy.
It's
my team, but it's in my city. Like, I spent my whole career here in this city. It would have been insane, man. To be, you know, I know I'm holding you, man. There's a lot I want to talk to you about. But before I move you towards letting you get away here, you got to tell me, man, you got the greatest nickname in the world. Talk, where you get this bus from? The bus. It's the greatest nickname in the world, JB. Go ahead. Big old fella like you, 260, with a nickname, the bus.
It came from Notre Dame. When I was at Notre Dame, somebody in the student body newspaper wrote an article, and in the article it said something like, I remind them of a bus taking guys to school or whatever. And so what happened, the student body start chanting, and they would chant. Whenever I run the ball, they said, nobody stops the bus. And they would just say it over and over, right? And all of a sudden, everybody was calling me the bus. And I had another nickname that my offensive line coach gave me. My name was Big Daddy. Big as a truck, quick as a caddy. That's why they called me Big Daddy, right? Oh, and he gave me that. He gave me that when I was like a freshman.
Quick as a
caddy. Everybody would call me Big Daddy. But then when the bus hit, that was it. Everybody just started calling me the bus, and then that was the end of it.
And the wheels on the bus go round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, JB. One last thing, man, before I let you go, man. You know, Mike Tomlin, you talked about all of the transitions. You talked about that the team transitioning out of a run first team to becoming Ben's team all the way. All of that, through all of these transitions, Mike Tomlin has done a great job. And now he just became the winningest passing Tony Dungy, black head coach in NFL history. Talk to me about your thoughts on Coach Tomlin.
You know, Coach Tomlin has been incredible in the way he goes about his business.
So,
you know, in the way he goes about his business.
He's
very matter of factly. But as a football player, that's exactly what I want. I don't want you to sugarcoat it. I don't want you to tell me, oh, you're doing well when I'm not doing well. I want you to tell me, hey, man, you got to step it up. Or you might find yourself, okay, that's all you need to say.
Got it.
I know what I need to do.
Now it's on me.
So now it's on me. So now as a football player, right, you can appreciate the methodology in which he approaches the players, right? And then the message that he gives to the players is very clear and concise in terms of what they need to do, where they are, how they played, what they need to do to get better, right? So now you know as a player where the team is, where we are going collectively. So there is no mystery with Coach Tomlin. And I think that is such a beautiful thing. And I think the players respond to that. They appreciate that. He treats them like men, right? What he said, hey, this is what we're going to do. Boom, 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 boom. I'm not going to micromanage all of this. This is what we got to do, gentlemen. This is where we're going to get to. And if you don't get there, I'm going to find somebody else who else can get us there. And it's boom. And the players respond to it. They love it. And the organization has grown around him. And so he is vital to the heartbeat of that organization, because the one thing that we talk about in Pittsburgh, and he reiterates it more and more, is the standard is the standard, right? So that's the phrase that we all use, because when I came to Pittsburgh, there was four championships in there. And our goal was, hey, we have to help maintain the standard. It was set. Right. And now it's our job to maintain and surpass and grow that standard. And he believes in that. And that's why it's a family atmosphere, because all the former guys, he welcomes them back. He wants them to be a part of the pro, his program. Right. So it's just a beautiful thing.
Are they going to the Super Bowl, you're going to be there, is what you're saying. If they go to the Super Bowl, you're going to be there.
I'm being the mix. Right, the mix.
Because you become alive with you.
I'm going to have my terrible time. I'm right in the mix.
JB, listen though, man.
Just one like thing. if those Cowboys get it together, you're going to be right in the mix.
But we ain't got to even talk about that. They ain't going to get it together no time soon. And I know they plan. The Steelers, I'm worried. This is the second week in a row. They are double digits underdogs, and we're not even sure which quarterback we're putting out there. So that thing is just going. That thing's going bad. JB, before I let you go, man, one last thing. You got a chance to experience the greatest thing that all warriors really want. All warriors. I was watching Rocky Balboa. That's the when he's an old man and he went back to fight Antonio Tarver. And right before he went in the fight, Antonio Tarver in the movie, what the old man Paulie said to him, "I know you got that in you. You got to let it go. Just go out here tonight, let it go, and let's try to live our rest of our lives." You know, because he wanted him to get it out of him right there. I didn't get a chance to get it all out of me. You know what I mean? When I went down, I didn't get to get it all out of me.
I know what you said.
You got to walk off, man, on championship row in your home city of Detroit and say, "Bye-bye, I'm leaving with the trophy." Man, come on, man. That's a warrior send-off that everybody wants that nobody never really gets.
But here's how that happened. It almost didn't happen because the year prior to that, we lost in the AFC Championship. Remember, I said we were 15-1.
Right.
So I was devastated. And what I did was after that was over, my 12th year was over, I said, "You know what? I'm done. I'm finished." So I asked Coach, "Could I talk to the team?" I got up. And I addressed the team that Monday. We played Sunday. That Monday, I told everybody I'm retiring. I thanked them to a man for being incredible teammates and giving everything that they had. But my career is over. It's done, right? And everybody's crying. I'm crying. Everybody's crying, leaving out that meeting. Coach Cowher said, "Listen, don't make such a harsh decision." I told, "Hey, man, I'm done," right? He said, just take some time. Well, just so happens, and Corey Dillon was playing for the Patriots. He broke his ribs. I was the first alternate for the Pro Bowl. I went to the Pro Bowl that year because we lost an AFC Championship. The Steelers were the coaches.
Right.
So they were the coaches there. So now we had a 15-1
team. That's how we did it back then.
We had the coaching staff and we had about eight players. Those eight players brought two or three guys each. So before you know it, when I got there, because I got there late, it was about 20 guys from the Steelers there. There was the coaches and the owners, Mr. Rooney, they all came out too. So we had a Steeler luau. And two of my teammates said, "Listen, you're going to regret retiring." He said, "Because the Super Bowl is in Detroit." And I was like, "What?" I didn't even know the Super Bowl was in Detroit because, you know, it's 1 year at a time. I wasn't thinking about next year. And he said, "Man, Super Bowl's in Detroit. You're going to regret it because we're going to be partying in Detroit when we win the Super Bowl." I said, wait a minute. After that, I decided to come back for one more year because the Super Bowl was in Detroit. We had a 15-1 football team, so I knew we had a good team. So I said, "I'm going to give it one more shot." As it turns out, give it one more shot. The team is lackluster, and we had to win our last four games just to get in the playoffs. But right. Once we got in, we kind of turned the switch on. And I'm going to tell you what, to be in my hometown, I will say this, it was expensive. I bought my mom and dad a suite, right, so that they at home, so they can host in the suite at the stadium. So they was in heaven. They loved it. I played the game for free, but I tell you what, it was okay because it was all worth it. It was their Super Bowl too. So right. I wanted them to enjoy it just as much as me. And I'm going to tell you what, going out, you know, the build up to that game and then going out on that field, it was magical, right? So then I get on the field, man, I'm so antsy. I mean, because I know it's my last game, but it's, you know, you got to win the game. And we win this game, man, and to get on the podium and that have the Lombardi in your hand, right? And at that point, I hadn't told – I told the owner, Mr. Rooney, that I was done after this game. I hadn't told anybody else. So I get on the podium and say, you know, "I'm retired. I'm done. That's it. It's over." And as soon as I walk off, Coach Cowher said, You sure you won't give it one more?" I said, "I'm done, buddy. I got what I came for." And really, like you said, that's what, you know, all competitors, all warriors, that's all you want was the opportunity on that stage, right? And so I got that opportunity in my hometown. I had 41 tickets. So you could imagine what it was. I mean, I had, you know, I just wanted to, because I knew it was my last game. I wanted to try to, you know, honor everybody who would help me get to that stage,
right.
By wanting them to be there to see it. And it was special, man. There's a moment I'll never, ever forget. That is the moment. And so people ask me, well, what about the Super Bowl ring and the Hall of Fame ring? And I tell people all the time, I said, the Hall of Fame ring is a byproduct of me wanting a Super Bowl ring. I said, every year, I knew we weren't good enough. I wanted to get better and better every year. So I made myself a better football player every year in the hopes of winning the championship. It wasn't in hopes of going to the Hall of Fame. And so for me, it's the championship ring that's more important, because I got to the promised land, right? The goal was accomplished. Now, the byproduct was some great seasons and an incredible career that people can look back and say, you know what? I deem it worthy of the Hall of Fame. Right. And, you know, it's an incredible honor. But the goal was always to win a championship, right? To be a champ. So when we can get together and say, what's up, champ?
What's up, champ?
And it's something to that.
It is something.
Because not all of us got an opportunity to be in that moment. So that was special for me.
And you see it when we're in Canton, Ohio, and all those gold jacket dudes in there. And we know who got a ring and who don't have a ring. So we know the conversation, champ. Hey, champ. I really enjoyed the time, man. I appreciate you taking the moment. I know I've taken more than I was allotted, but I enjoy
stopping up
with you, buddy.
Whenever we get together, we can't stop talking anyway.
It's always good, dog. JB, you should write a book about and call it The Rookie. All that you talked about, you know, would stick out in my head. Imagine, Rookie of the Year in L.A.
Oh, it must have been some. Oh, God.
Hey,
rookie of the year in LA.
With a pocket full of money. 21 years old with a pocket full of money. It was tough. It was tough. It was dangerous. I survived it.
I bet there's a lot of other words you can put in there. You survived it. There are a lot of other words you can put in. Survive is a good word to place. You survived it. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for taking the time, man. I appreciate it.
Love you, brother.
I want to give thanks to my man, Jerome Bettis, for spending some time with me. Wherever you can catch up with the bus, go ahead and catch the bus. Jerome Bettis, I appreciate it. Now, let's get to our playmakers of the week. And I say playmakers because I always give you at least two honorable mention playmakers. And this first guy I want to put on here because he's just such a beast. And it's hard to find when he have great games, because I don't believe anyone is more feared in the NFL right now than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill had 4 receptions for 98 yards and 2 TDs in a big win, 35-9 win over the Jets. And I know you say, oh my God, it was just the Jets. But like I said, there is no one in this NFL that's feared more than Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill sets it up for Mecole Hardman, sets it up for Sammy Watkins, and even helps set it up for Travis Kelce. I'm not saying Travis Kelce ain't a bad man. Travis Kelce one of the baddest men in the world. But Tyreek Hill knocking the top off everything leaves all of everything underneath for you to eat all day. Hey, man, Tyreek Hill, you're my honorable mention playmaker when you get 4 for 98 and 2 touchdowns, buddy. But speaking of someone that's the most feared in the NFL, let me tell you who's growing up there real fast and getting right on up there next to Tyreek Hill. And that's my next honorable mention playmaker. That's DK Metcalf. DK
Metcalf, DK, Metcalf. Wait a minute. 12 receptions, 161 yards, 2 receiving TDs, and a big win, 37-27 over the 49ers in the division. A lot's going on around it. I told you how Tyreek Hill makes everybody better around him. You see what DK Metcalf, I like that, is doing for Tyler Lockett? Man, Tyler Lockett is playing out of his mind. He's playing out of his mind. He's been there for years, but he's playing better than I've ever seen him play. And why is he playing better than you? Better than I ever seen him play? Better than you ever seen him play? You know why he's doing that? DK Metcalf. I'm just telling you. That's all I'm telling you. That big boy there makes a difference all the way around. Tyreek Hill, DK Metcalf. Y'all, my honorable mention, playmakers of the week. But my playmaker of the week is Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook. He went 30 rushes, 163 yards, three rush TDs. 2 receptions, 1 receiving TD, and a 28-22 win over the Green Bay Packers. The Vikings knock off the Packers. That's Dalvin Cook right there. He did it himself. Let me tell you why that's huge, too. Dalvin Cook gave the Vikings something. And when you look at this new playoff format, where this thing could really end up being the Packers like a number 2 seed and the Vikings can be a number 8 seed. Because remember, there's an extra team getting in the playoffs now. The number 2 seed, Packers, number 8 seed, the Vikings, the number 8 seed just beat the number 2 seed. Just something to think about if it happens down the road. The Vikings can go into that game with a little bit of confidence. All because of my playmaker of the week, Dalvin Cook.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.